Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Frank. I know it's day one of minicamp. Long way to go here, but looking at the talent in your room along the defensive line, yourself, Chris, adding Jaron, and the young guys in your room as well, what are your expectations for what this pass rush can achieve in 2021?
Man, I feel like we're going to have a lot of fun out there. Got a lot of young guys that's willing to step up. Some guys you didn't even name. You got, you know, Colin Saunders. You got, it's a lot of young talent. I feel like over the first few years we had we was new. We didn't really know each other. You know, it was one of those type of things we was playing. But I feel like at this point of going into year three, basically with our foundation kind of being set now, you know, with us, you know, basically knowing the layout of our defense, knowing where each person is going to be, knowing how each person plays, I feel like that all plays into our favor, honestly.
Frank, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate y'all. See you guys soon.
All right. That's Frank Clark out at Arrowhead. Speak for the first time in quite some time from this offseason. Admitted there as well that on Twitter, he said he kind of stayed off social media a little bit. Doesn't even remember his password.
What's your password?
Mine's just auto login, man. I don't remember. It's one of five, basically. It's one of five different passwords. He also talked about a little bit earlier there. Again, they came up to the podium earlier than scheduled. We'll hear from Travis Kelce and LDT here momentarily on 610 Sports Radio. But he was talking about the sacks, Cody, a sack goal of 10 plus from last year. Remember, that was his goal.
Yeah.
He obviously didn't hit that. And he said he's washed that from his mind. And he's looking ahead to this year.
That should be his goal again this year. And by the way, you're listening to 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF Liberty, an Odyssey station. No, it's like that should be the goal. That's what they signed Frank Clark to be. I always got confused, Gold, for the people who thought he was like a 16 to 18 sack guy or something. Like all of a sudden he was going to be Aaron Donald back there or like peak Justin Houston. That's never what Frank Clark was. He was a consistent sack guy. And then he balled out in the postseason the year they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, those things feel very different when you see them play out. But 10 sacks should be about his goal based on what he's paid alone.
And it seemed as though, too, he was asked a little bit earlier in that media setting about Chris Jones playing on the outside, too. And he knows, I think, what that means for him, potentially. It's going to cause defenses or offense, I should say, to pick and choose which side they're going to go.
Get started, and we'll start first with Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Travis, good to see you as always, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Yourself?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. You've now had a few days of OTAs and now the first day of minicamp to work with Noah Gray. And I'm curious what your first overall impressions with the guy as he's acclimating to the scheme.
Well, one of Coach Reed's big things is bring energy, man, and show your personality. And so far, he's done both. It's been a lot of fun so far. A3's, he's got a very unique way of understanding football. He's years ahead of, being a rookie. Which is awesome. You know, you can kind of give him pointers and, he's running with everything. He's absorbing all the information that the coaches are giving him, that he's hearing from other players, and he's having a lot of success out there on the field. He's going to definitely help us this year.
Let's go next to Mick Schaefer. Go ahead, Mick.
Sorry, it's actually McKenzie. Hey, Travis, I just wanted to ask you, I interviewed Kanaya about the shoe she designed, and it was so exciting to just see how excited she was and talk about that experience with her. What's that like for you to just, I mean, you're making their day. This is just an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that she could not stop talking about.
Oh, man, first, I'm just very fortunate that I was in the position that I'm in, both as an athlete and as an influence in the community. It's just a reason, another reason why I love this area, this city, the Chiefs Kingdom, and every day around Kanaya is awesome, man. She's so heartfelt, very genuine, just appreciative of everything that's come her way. And Nike couldn't have picked a better, you know, young lady to create a shoe and to help me kind of push the trailblazer that we did. And you know, I'm just very thankful that she was so fun and she was so happy to just be a part of it. And yeah, shout out to Kanaya.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Travis, a long time ago now, but I believe it was 14, you were the tight end behind Anthony Fasano. What do you remember about that time? And now that the Chiefs, I think for the second time in your tenure, have drafted a tight end, what can you take from that time and kind of pass it along from Noah to Noah Gray?
Just the confidence of the game. I think that's the biggest thing that Fasano gave me, was that, you know, if you put the work in, if you understand the game mentally, you can play so much faster. And I think Noah has a great understanding of the game. He has a good understanding of what defenses are being presented in front of him. And that's half the battle, man, knowing what the other side of the ball is doing, so you have an idea of what you should be doing. And, yeah, he's hit the ground running ever since we started.
Next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Travis. Earlier in your career with the Chiefs, you guys played a lot of multiple tight end formations, maybe got away from that a little bit, and certainly looks like, particularly judging from what we saw today, you guys are going to be doing a lot of that again. What are the advantages from your viewpoint to multiple tight end formations? And Brad, I'll have a follow-up as well.
Well, Adam, I think the biggest thing is just the mismatches. You know, it presents a different set of formations and a different set of rules for the defense to be more gap sound in the run game, but at the same time have an idea of more play action stuff. And then it puts the, you know, for the most part, they bring in more linebackers or a bigger guy because we're bringing in bigger guys, right? So they try and match the personnel, which can also kind of play in our advantage because we got guys that can run routes in both, I mean, everywhere in the tight end room. So it's just, you know, trying to take advantage of those mismatches and just be accountable for the team. You know, anything that Coach Reed can imagine, you know, we want to be able to give him that option to call.
Okay. And, you said recently in an interview, you talked about the Chiefs and the Browns, and you said maybe they're neck and neck, the two teams for best in the AFC. Can you elaborate on that, what you think about the Browns? I mean, you just throwing some love to your hometown, or what is it about the Browns you really think is all that?
Well, I mean, I grew up living in the any given Sunday world, man. Any team can beat you, right? I mean, I remember, I think it was 2015 or 14, I forget which year it was, but the Raiders they hadn't had a win on their schedule, or they hadn't had a win in their season yet. And we went into Oakland on a Thursday night and took an L to a team that was winless. And I'm not saying that they're the Raiders by any means. I just think that, you know, the Browns have done a great job of, you know, getting that organization back to, you know, a very respectable, very, you know, competitive team. And with that, I mean, you got to respect everybody. And you just got to give everybody your best shot. And we're definitely not taking the Browns light, that's for sure.
It's Sam Mellinger. Good, Sam.
Hey, Travis, this is kind of related to what Adam just asked you about, actually. But I know the answer is supposed to be like one day at a time and all that. But you look around the league, who do you see as sort of the biggest competitor, rival, or threat in the AFC to get back to the Super Bowl?
I mean, we got three really good teams in the division. I'm not going to look past anybody in our division. If you look at the entire AFC, outside of the Raiders, Broncos, and Chargers, I mean, obviously the Browns, the Ravens, the Titans just got another huge piece to their offense that's very interesting. And who knows who's going to show up? I mean, there's a lot of good young teams like a Miami. And it's just, you know, you got to be ready. You got to be ready for it all. You can't forget about the Bills. I mean, there's teams all over the place that can come up and get a win, and you just got to respect them all and go to work every single week.
We've got four left. We'll go right down the line, starting with Aaron. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, appreciate the time here today, Travis. A lot of noise around Le'Veon Bell and what he had to say on the way out. I'm curious if you're surprised to hear that from a guy that's been inside that locker room, and maybe if you listen to that in relation to your experience.
Yeah, I was surprised. I think that Le'Veon, when he came here, was a very hard worker. He was a pro's pro. I mean, he was working his tail off in practice. I think there was a little bit of his body. He was a little banged up there towards the end of the season. And I'm a guy who I was excited when we got him. I was hoping that he was going to be able to help us out a lot. And it's just, you know, you never like to see things like that, especially when I think so highly of a guy like Le'Veon and like Coach Reed. So it's just, I don't know, it's just unfortunate, but I don't talk about other guys' situations. I don't know what happened between them. And, you know, I just appreciate Le'Veon coming in and working as hard as he did. Because I know it was a unique and different situation that he was in, man.
Let's go to Darren Smith. Go ahead, Darren.
Hey, Travis, hope you're doing well. I'm curious, and I have two questions for you. One, how does the mindset and how does the mentality change from the first year when you all missed out on going to the Super Bowl to the next year winning the Super Bowl, and then the year after you lose the Super Bowl? What's the mindset and the work ethic in coming back the following season like that, and then have a follow-up after that?
I think right now everybody's more motivated now than we were before we won a Super Bowl. You know, I think everybody's still got a bad taste in our mouth on how we finished the season last year. And it's just, you know, that's fuel in the fire. We got a lot of guys flying around right now, excited to come to practice, excited to go to work, and excited to try and get this thing rolling in the right direction early and keep it in that direction. But I think for the most part, the mentality's always been the same, man. We're going to go into this season trying to win every single football game, whether home or away. And with that mentality, man, the sky's the limit, man. We'll let everything else play out how it goes.
Second question, obviously last year you were in the mix, I guess, in the design of the Super Bowl ring. Have they come to you about the AFC Championship ring, or what, or you have any input on that or what?
I only want to see rings that I win. I don't want to see the rings that I lose, man. So I'll just leave it at that.
We'll go last to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Travis, I know last year was the run it back tour, and virtually every single player, at least, you know, on the core was back for the team. This year there's, you know, more of a normal NFL season. There's more turnover, especially along the offensive line, even the receivers, Sammy moving on. I know the mindset and the focus and you guys that have been around for all these years that, you know, it's the next step for all you guys, but for new guys, whether it's rookies or guys coming from other teams, is that maybe an injection, fresh blood, maybe guys that don't have that Super Bowl ring that, you know, a lot of you guys do? Does that added maybe some energy to the room, or is it something you got to drag them and bring them up to speed and get them up to your level? How does that dynamic work?
I think the Brett Veach and the coaches and the front office did a great job of bringing in guys that are ready to work. I mean, they brought in championship level guys that have been in the playoffs, guys that have been in Super Bowls, guys that are just, you know, pros. And that's the biggest thing is to be able to have a culture like Coach Reed has kind of laid the foundation here. And the leaders in this building have laid the foundation. It makes it easy for guys that are professionals that actually want to go to work and want to win, and it means something to them to come in and find that culture and appreciate it and add to it. And that's the big, that's something that I've always loved about Coach Reed. I mean, being here 9 years now, you see a lot of guys come and go, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, you wish we could have never let go. And you know, it's just, that's the business of the NFL. So you just got to be able to every single year kind of reboot that entire chemistry, the entire team. Every year is a new year, you know, no matter who's in the building, no matter who you got. You got to be able to create that new team with the guys that are in the building.
Travis, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, that's Travis Kelce out at Arrowhead here on 610 Sports Radio, mentioning when he was asked about who he considers AFC contenders. I think he listed about the entire AFC for the most part there.
I think smart maybe answer. He missed the Colts. I got to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, Colts were not mentioned, but he got the Bills. He got the Ravens. He got the Bills. Jets. He got the Cleveland.
Just missing the Jets.
He got the other AFC West teams in there. Making
he covered
sure
the entire AFC West.
Yeah. No, he
I don't think he mentioned the Texans. The Jets.
He mentioned the Titans. I know that.
He mentioned the Titans.
He mentioned the Dolphins.
Mentioned almost every
AFC
team.
He didn't mention the Patriots, I don't think. Did
Dude,
he?
I don't know. He caught got, a lot know. Of the teams.
He did. And then also said, hey.
Democratic answer.
It was a smart answer for him there, I guess. And then he said he thinks everybody's more motivated right now than even before they won the Super Bowl a year ago, just if you're trying to figure out their mindset.
I think that it'd be weird if it was the other way around. Don't you think you'd be more – Tom Brady's already admitted that before. This isn't new news. Don't you think you'd be more motivated after you lost a Super Bowl than after you won one?
Well, because you've tasted it before, and you were also that close again last year.
Especially how it happened, sure.
I mean, you were that close. We're expecting to go back out to Arrowhead and hear from Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, of course, who opted out a year ago for the great work he was doing up in Canada, frankly saving lives up in Canada, and he is able to make his way back to Kansas City and obviously going to have quite the battle there for right guard, we expect.
Taking a full year off, yeah. Doing very super important doctoring stuff.
Yeah, no question about that. So we'll hear from him here in just a little bit. But yeah, Kelsey, the mindset of the team, I mean, I think we would expect for them to be more motivated after that, because you kind of had, the expectation from last year of running it back, and you came as close as you possibly could to doing it and completing it. You made it to the Super Bowl. And not to mention, you didn't just lose the Super Bowl, but the way it happened, let's be honest. I mean, the way it happened, it felt like you were never in that football game. It ended very quickly there in Tampa. And so that's got to be just in the back of your mind forever, frankly, and has to be your motivation going forward. And, you know, I'm glad Adam Teicher asked the question to Travis about the AFC contenders, though, because he's like, were you just trying to be nice to the Cleveland paper, Ohio?
And then, he's like, no, I think that everybody is a dangerous team. And he's right. They're, it's hard with them because they're kind of a laughing stock, right? Like as a franchise. Not now. But they've been a laughing stock as a franchise for a long time. So it is kind of hard to take them seriously. But, I mean, he also went on and named that every single – like, look, I stand by what I said earlier. I think when Travis Kelce said that, he was saying that to a pro-Browns audience.
He was on the Akron paper.
He's from that area. And he's never going to say that team stinks. Because that's never been, look, and there are occasionally players who are willing to say that kind of thing, like when Jalen Ramsey tried to call Tyreek Hill a punt return specialist. It hasn't ended well since then, right? Like, it wasn't Ramsey, was it? Or was it? I can't remember.
Ramsey was the guy that years ago had the GQ article, and he basically called out every quarterback. Remember that?
Yeah, that's him. I'm getting it mixed up.
Just about every quarterback Jalen Ramsey was.
But it's like, there are occasionally players who do that, but the Chiefs haven't had a guy like that in a long time. They might call out their own play. They might say like they felt like they should win a game, but it's pretty rare for one of them to come out and say that. And I think Kelsey's probably playing a little bit of the, safety card.
They let the play on the field do the talking, and then you'll get the subtle things. Mahomes will be counting on his fingers, to remind everybody that kind of stuff.
Not blatant. Well,
yeah, they're smart about it. I mean, honestly, they're smart about how they kind of handle that. And ultimately, he said we're going to try to win every single game. Which, okay, obviously everybody's trying to do that. But truly, this team, considering they went 14-2 in the regular season, now you add an extra game. This is one of those teams when a player on the Chiefs, there's a handful of teams when they say, yeah, we're going to try to win every single game. Every team's doing that. But you actually believe it. Like it's achievable for a team like Kansas City or if you want to say a team like the Bucks or whatever.
And there's no
like,
team to really take lightly in the easy part of their schedule.
No, it's right out of the gate. And I think that's another reason why the Browns were first mentioned. Right out of the gate, you have Cleveland open up your season at Arrowhead. I mean, that atmosphere is going to be incredible first or second week of September. Fans haven't been there in full capacity. A lot of Chiefs fans haven't seen that Super Bowl banner yet. A lot of Chiefs fans.
Had full capacity. People could be there, but they never went.
Yeah, a lot of Chiefs fans haven't seen it though, man.
No, that's fair.
And St. Joe even this year. And we'll get hopefully more details in the coming weeks. But it sure seems like things are heading in the right direction for that to be the experience we're hoping. Maybe not the autographs and stuff, but still some of the other optics with it. I know we're excited about hopefully being up there and everything. And like what St. Joe could be like this year is going to be nuts, we would think, too.
And look, he just went through the teams. Like, every team he mentions is, like, in the first 6 weeks of their schedule. Cleveland, week one. Baltimore, week two. He mentioned the division. Chargers, week three. Bills, week five. Titans, week seven. Like, that whole front part, that, like, beginning part, those first 8 weeks, and look, there are a few other weeks in there that are not quite as bad. But every team that would logically have a stake to the crown would be somewhere near there, and obviously the Chiefs are trying to combat that. I think that, he's just being democratic about it all, right? A little bit, Gold, admittedly. A little democratic about the whole thing. But I still think that it will be, motivation alone, by the way, will not carry you to a Super Bowl. Like, I'm glad he's more motivated than after the Super Bowl win. They're just going to have to play better. I mean, that's just the, play better than they did in that Super Bowl. They sleepwalk through the regular season. Be honest, they could sleepwalk through this regular season. It's the same damn teams. Nobody got better enough. Titans got what? A little bit better. Browns got a little bit better. There was a gap between those teams. They're still better than those teams. The Chiefs did not drop. The Chiefs got better of all places. They only got worse in a very few spots. Maybe corner without Bashaud Breeland.
Yeah, I
maybe wide
I think
receiver
so.
Without Sammy Watkins, although he only played half the season.
Yeah, the availability was a question there. I just think, you know, most of the conversation last year, the first, what, eight weeks or so of the season was about are they just sleepwalking kind of through it?
I still think that was real.
And yeah, this year I'm less concerned about that. Like you could say last year you weren't concerned because they were winning. But just in terms of heading into a season, like typically when you say something, somebody or a team sleepwalking, it typically has a negative connotation with it.
Yeah,
it
like they're losing more than they should.
Obviously, that wasn't the case last year for Kansas City. This year, I'm not worried about that at all because the fact that what Travis Kelce was talking about with the motivation, the fact that their lasting memory was what happened in the Super Bowl. Like, I expect them week one, week two, week three, week four. Like, we're still here. We may have had a dud in the Super Bowl, to say the least, but we are still here. We are still the best team or one of the best teams in football, and try to send a reminder to everybody else across the NFL. Oh, that offensive line we had a problem with. Yeah, this offensive line might be one of the best in football. Like, I think that's the message early on, hopefully, right? The message early on in the regular season.
I don't know. I mean, they can just sleepwalk. They're better than everybody. Like, is it hard?
Yeah,
like,
but I think the first few weeks you go out and you have to you.
I do
you,
think
you
the lasting taste
message,
of like
man.
You say that right. We're better than everybody, but you're the last game you played, you got your ass kicked.
Right. So you want to remind
the
everybody
the only time you got your ass kicked in the entire Patrick Mahomes era.
Yes,
was the last game you played. That's why you and I are so convinced. I like Chiefs by 20 in week one. Like, look, they might lose some games along the way. I'm going to feel less confident or more confident depending on the week. I do feel like they're going to walk into that one with a point to prove. And I just don't know that, like, the Browns have enough talent to overcome that.
I just think right out of the gate, it's like sending a reminder to the rest of the NFL. That's part of the...
I should do a remix of No Chance, but just about that game. A remix. I'm still trying to get booked up at Planet Hip Hop in St. Joe. Maybe Grant has connections there. Kramer hasn't gotten it done yet.
So what, we do a little four-hour show from Chiefs training camp while practice is wrapping
and then,
up.
Then and my then, performance and then at that Planet Hip Hop in St. Joseph.
Yeah, just come out, watch some Chiefs practice Friday, and then Friday night stick around for Planet Hip Hop, Cody's performance to get booed off the stage.
Sounds like an awesome Friday night.
That sounds like the highlight of the night.
Yeah, I'm not getting booed off the stage. Come on, they're coming to see me if that's the case. Right?
Well, there's other people. Actual rappers and hip-hop artists.
What, I can't have the whole Friday night to myself? You think I got to share the stage?
You don't have enough.
They had to start somewhere.
Look, yeah. Can you, like, you're up to 8 tracks, is that right?
Something like, it might be 10, I don't know. I think it's like 8.
Yeah, so you got about 20, you got
no
25.
Chance,
you got
one
about,
more win, I think you got about happy 20. Birthday, Patrick.
Can you go all of them back-to-back? Like, could you perform those by heart
probably.
Live?
Honestly, the only one that I would be worried about.
You'd have
I
to have CDOT come up and help you for one of them, too.
The only, yeah, or I could just.
Text anybody, line says, Cody's not getting a Friday night slot. They're not wasting that on you.
I think the only one I wouldn't be confident I could do is one we haven't played any clips from for a while. And that's the Raptors one.
Yeah,
I can't
be
confident the Raptors 2KC rap is something I
can
still recite.
People would be like, what's up with that? Why are you doing Raptors 2KC?
If you played it, maybe. But I mean, these are my songs. These are the songs. Like, I gotta, you know, like, I only have so many. The Raptors to KC rap would be a part of my set.
People would sing along to Happy Birthday, Patrick, just because it's Patrick Mahomes. It'd be a good tie-in for training camp.
Yeah, see, it all works itself out.
Someone says 8 is too many.
You'll come see 4?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a free event. So nobody's paying a dime for this.
You don't know that.
All right, let's go back out to Arrowhead and hear from LDT.
Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Larry. Welcome back. Good to talk to you again. I was curious what you're working through now as far as the greatest obstacle to get back in the mix after taking so much time off.
Back home in Montreal, the gym have been closed for the past years. I was able to stay in a pretty good shape, but I think when it comes to football shape, there's no other treatment than just playing football. So I'm here. Today was a great day, great start, and I'm looking forward to more practices. I think that's the key, is to get exposure, get some reps.
Let's go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, glad to have you back. I'm wondering, with your perspective as a pro football player who stepped away, was helping out on the front lines, if you have a message at all about vaccinations and their availability. Some players have used their platform here to use a message. I'm wondering if you have one.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, of course, with my medical knowledge and background, I think vaccination is a great thing. I think it's what's going to get us through this pandemic. But I think it's also a personal choice. Like, you cannot judge people. I think it's important to have a conversation and you know, I believe that we have the greatest protocol here in the NFL with the testing, the mask and so on. And whether you decide to get vaccinated or not, we're going to be able to protect the players. And that's what matters at the end of the day.
Next to Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Larry, what was I saw you on several like national stories and things like that. But we haven't really had a chance to talk to you. Can you kind of encapsulate what it was like last year to do what you were doing? And were you able to on Sundays watch Chiefs games? What, how did you kind of work through that? Were you on call then working? How did that go?
I mean, it's been a pretty challenging year, I think, for all of us. For me personally, like, you know, I went back and helped in long-term care facility. In different capacity, like sometimes I was a nurse, sometimes I was an orderly, a resident, like I was basically helping where help was needed. And it was tough. Like we lost a lot of patients and we know that long-term care facility were pretty badly affected. But I think at the end of the day, like, you know, looking back at this year, being able to watch the Chiefs on Sunday, that was kind of the thing that was keeping me grounded, you know, and it was fun. It was fun to watch my teammates. Fun to stay in touch with them as well throughout the season, even though I wasn't there. I don't regret my decision. I think I was in the right place at the right moment, and I was able to put my medical training to use. But for sure, like watching game on Sunday, couldn't be prouder of the guys. And also like on Mondays, going to work in long-term care facility, going from patient's room to patient's room and watching the replays from the game with your scrub, your visor, and your gown. That was pretty cool. You know, the patient were also behind the Chiefs. It was the Chiefs Kingdom, South Shore of Montreal.
Let's go next to Sam Mellinger. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Larry. I hear you say just then that you don't regret the decision. I think we all can understand why. But I'm curious, did you miss football? I don't mean this in that old tired, like, does he love football thing enough. But did you feel like you had a foot in both worlds at all? Or did you feel completely detached from this and into what you were doing?
I mean, football is in your DNA. Like I remember like throughout November, December, as we were heading to the playoff, like sometime on Thursday, I would wake up and be like, okay, is it a, you know, a shell practice? Is it a full speed practice? Like I kept asking myself those questions because I miss football. Yeah, of course. Like you want to play football. That's why I trained so hard. And, you know, the last time I put a helmet on before today was at the Super Bowl in Miami and we won it. So there's a good, great memories from playing football with these guys. And I want to build, you know, that chemistry back and hopefully get a starting job in order to contribute to the team this year.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Laurent, welcome back. Wanted to ask you what you thought the last year has done for you in a football sense. Do you feel, or is there any concern on your part that maybe you're not going to be the same player you were before you left, or maybe has the year away from football maybe saved a year of wear and tear and can extend your career? How do you feel about all that?
A little bit of both, to be honest. And I think we'll see throughout the next couple of weeks and as we're heading into training camp, how I really feel. So far, I feel great. You know, like you said, being away from the game for a year, of course, you get rusty a little bit. But at the same time, I've never, you know, bench, clean and squat as much as I did throughout the past year. So I feel in great shape. And hopefully it's going to be able to translate on the field this year.
Let's go next to Mackenzie Nelson. Go ahead, Mackenzie.
Larry, I was just curious what your thoughts are on how sports at all levels, not just professional, but college and high school, handled, you know, navigating the pandemic and practicing and playing, just overall getting some of these seasons in after having them taken away a year before. Just what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? Me opting out was never to say that we shouldn't be playing sport in 2020. I feel like through the pandemic, through like a ton of things that divided people, sport is probably one of the last thing that brought people together. So no, I think everybody did everything they can in order to make sport happen. And I think it was great for people, like people, the fans needed it. Everybody went through like ups and downs throughout 2020 and to be able to like watch the Chiefs, watch your team perform at a high level, even though there's a pandemic going on. I think it's a great thing. It's like the connective tissue of our society.
Go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
And Brad, I'll have a follow-up to this as well. Larry, the first thing I wanted to ask is you mentioned that the gyms were closed. What were you doing specifically to keep yourself in shape?
I mean, you can watch on my Instagram, but I build a little gym on my balcony. And I worked out outside because that's all I was allowed to do through quarantine and curfew and so on for the last year. I had a pretty good setup. Don't get me wrong, it was cold, but I had some heaters on the side and so on. And I basically trained like four times a week for the past year. So I feel in pretty good shape.
And the second thing I wanted to ask is you got, I would assume, a better taste of the field you want to get into post NFL than probably ever before. Did it reinforce that that's what you want to do, or give you any second guesses about it?
I think it reinforced the fact that for me, my calling is promoting health, you know, and whether it's with medicine or public health or other platform, that's what I'm going to be doing post career and even during my career. And I started also a master's degree at Harvard in public health throughout the off season, because I think as a professional athlete, you almost have that duty to get involved, you know, to promote something that you believe in. And for me, using the NFL platform and Tribune that I'm so privileged to have to promote something bigger than just one-on-one interaction with patient, I think it's something that I want to look at, you know.
We'll take five more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Nate. Go ahead, Nate.
Larry, good to see you. I have a two-part question for you. What in the last year did you want to sort of prove to yourself in terms of your return on the field and what you can do that maybe you wouldn't have had given the year off? And then secondly, just what's it like to be in the offensive line room now, given that Mitch, Eric aren't there anymore, and you have a lot of new guys, obviously Creed, Joe, Orlando Brown, to name a few. Just what's it been like to know what you can get better at with the year off and obviously being in within a new core?
I don't mean to cut you off, but my English is a little bit rusty because I spoke French for the last year. Can you just say that first question one more time?
No, you're totally fine, man. It's just what do you feel like you know you can get better at in your return and then obviously getting into a new offensive line room?
I mean, you can get better at everything, you know, and I feel like 2020 was a good year, like 19 actually, and leading up to the Super Bowl was a good year, but you can always improve. So that's what I'm looking at. Like, I feel like I'm in great shape. I want to use that to my advantage. And then it's just making sure that I didn't lose any of the IQ football stuff and, you know, the speed of the game and so on. So for me, watching film is going to be big this year. Just making sure that I can anticipate and also playing with my teammates. Again, it's kind of leading up into your second question. It's a new group out there, but it's crazy how they welcome me today. And I really love that. I feel like we're going to have a great group of guys. And, you know, I know Wiley, I know Nick Allegretti, but everybody else is new. But they're just awesome dudes. So I'm pretty excited to be here, honestly.
Go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Bonjour, Laurent. That's not the best my French accent can do. I wanted to go back to Super Bowl Sunday and how you spent that day as far as watching the game, absorbing it all, seeing your teammates in that game, but then also specifically seeing the challenges that the offensive line had with all of the injuries and what was kind of going through your mind.
I mean, it was tough. It was tough because, you know, I know the guys, I know how hard they work in order to get there. So I remember I was working on Saturday at the long-term care facility, took Sunday off. We had a curfew, so I watched it by myself. And it was tough because, of course, you want your guys to win. And like I said earlier, like, they work so hard in order to get to that point. And, you know, we know that injury happened. But I think it's just important to have good depth. And I think coaches and scout this year worked so hard to build together an O-line where everybody can play and everybody or most people had played in the past. So we have a tremendous amount of depth this year. And I'm really excited to be able to contribute to this offense.
Go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
Lauren, I'm curious, how many of your teammates or maybe even other guys around the NFL reached out to you? You know, I mean, it seems like that's kind of a unique situation. Like, I should have some doctor friends, but I don't. But if I had some guys that were doctors in the radio field, I sure would have called them. So did you field a lot of calls from guys around the league in your team?
Absolutely. You know, and before opting out, I called Coach Reed and Coach Check, and they show their support from the get-go. And it's one thing to show support one-on-one, but then to go into a press conference and tell the world basically that you're supporting your player's decision. Like, for me, it really meant a lot, you know. And then throughout the season, teammates reach out all the time, like Fish, Schwartz, Wiley, like, and it's great. Like, it's a good feeling because now I feel like I'm more welcome into the locker room because they show me their support throughout the year. So, yeah, now it's time to go back at it and play football.
Last two, we'll go Karen and then Blair. Go ahead, Karen.
Larry.
Oh, hi.
Dr. Darsh kept me informed of how you were doing, and I watched your Instagrams. Those squats in the snow were pretty impressive out there. But did you have a, like, feel a hunger for football that maybe you never knew you had before, a love that was deepened by being away from it for a year?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's also like I realize how privileged I am to be able to perform in the biggest sport league in the world, you know, and to be away from it for a year made me realize that football doesn't last forever. So whenever you're still healthy, you got to work hard and make sure you can get back out there, because that feeling of winning at Harrods Stadium in front of 80,000 people is just nuts. And I want to make sure I'm still on the field to feel that.
We'll go last to Blair Kirkhoff. Go, Blair.
Laurent, I just wanted to follow up on something you said earlier. You picked up a master's, or you're starting a master's program in public health at Harvard. Yeah. Tell us about that.
I mean, it was always a field of interest for me to explore that, because I feel like the more and more I'm getting a platform, especially in Canada, it's getting harder and harder to interact one-on-one with patient, because sometimes I feel like patients know more about you than you know about them, you know? And I feel like through public health, I can actually use that platform to promote health at a population level through primary prevention and other action. And I think that's really, I can really have an impact. And that's why I started that program. And then I was like, everything's going to be online this year because of COVID. So why not try to shoot for the moon and get into the best program in the world? And I got admitted. So I'm pretty excited.
Larry, we appreciate your time. All right, thanks
that's
for us.
Laurent Duvernay-Tardif out at Arrowhead. I mean, how can you not be impressed and respect the hell out of that guy listening to the talk?
He's trying
there.
To make us all look bad? Yeah, damn. No,
unbelievable. I want to react to some things he had to say, too. But first, let's give you a shot at $1,000 in our national cash contest.
You dash for the cash. Code word this hour is cloud, C-L-O-U-D, cloud. Text that over to 72881 for to be a $1,000 winner in the national cash contest. Next chance coming up at 2:30 on the drive. Always complete rules over at 610sports.com and message and data rates may apply. The National Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL, B-E-T-Q-L, cloud, C-L-O-U-D, over to 72881.
Coming up next here on Cody and Goal, we'll react a little bit of what LDT and Travis Kelce, Frank Clark, had to say here next. I thought I was about to go CSI for a second. I didn't know we were about to get an intro to CSI.
I don't know. This felt like more like you were coming back from like a
CSI Miami or something for a second.
I never watched
like
that
a half
show.
Second. I used to, man. I don't watch a lot of cable, you know, cable TV anymore. But
you were like, sometimes I think you're like a 60-year-old man trapped in a 30-year-old.
What? Because I used to watch CSI
and read the KC Business Journal. It's a buildup. It's not one. It's not any one thing.
I don't think there was anything wrong about watching CSI.
It's not any one thing. It's like a combination of those things. You and Grant, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Have you ever watched CSI? God, you're young.
Yeah, he is. He's watched CSI, I bet.
No.
No chance.
He said all he watches is TV, too. What would you consider if I said, hey, what's a TV show an old person watches?
On like Andy Griffith.
Okay.
Well, there you go. See, like, you're not that old.
I told you. I haven't watched CSI.
That's a really old show.
I haven't watched CSI in 6 years.
That's like what my parents watched.
I made the comment that it sounded like CSI's intro for a brief second. And you assume that I watched it yesterday. No, it's been like 6 or 7 years.
Look, the oldest TV I watch is like those true crime things. Like, my mom liked them. I don't watch them all the time, but like, there's like some true crime.
Someone
crime
says
thing.
Since I called it cable television, it sounds
cable
like,
television.
It's a good point right there.
That really didn't. That didn't
what else
help
am I
you.
Supposed to say? It was on CBS.
Cable television.
No, I just pulled up the KC Business Journal just for you, just to see what's going on. You know, it keeps me up to date with stuff, Cody. You know.
And it was that like that one time you said that you like I used the Get Upside app. We joked about that. But like there was that time you were talking about that different app where just like it was comparing like one penny to one penny to a different place and stuff. I don't know.
Gas Buddy?
It was too much.
Gas Buddy app.
It's built up over time. You just got kind of an old vibe. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. When we look for girls for the dating game, I might look for a girl who likes to like knit. So you guys can watch cable news together.
I don't
cable
watch,
television
again,
together.
I don't watch
that. Sounds
cable.
So comfortable.
I don't watch that. I told you I watched CSI like
she
the last time
nice
6 years ago.
I'll find someone who knitted 6 years ago.
Now I just watch. The only thing I watch on TV is live sporting events.
A lot of people pick that up, man. That's fine. You can watch your football game.
Look, should we knitting in the corner?
You can turn up the volume with your clicker, and she can
okay.
She
okay.
can knit you a blanket for your lounge chair.
Oh man, goodness! Thank you.
Want to talk about LDT now?
I mean, sure, if we want.
First, he's trying to embarrass all of us because he's like saving lives in the off season. He's a professional football player. Now he's getting a degree from Harvard. So, like, the rest of us are just shot. In this department.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not? I mean, again, as I said before the break, I mean, how can you not respect and be impressed with LDT? Take away the football stuff, but not only what he did a year ago in his decision to help save lives, frankly, but also to then now hear more about his furthering of his education and starting a master's program or getting a master's from Harvard. I mean, my goodness, like it's just he continues to impress you every time he speaks. And then on the football side, because ultimately that's what, you know, here on this show, right, if we're talking about football, what his role is going to be this year. And
tough.
He talked about, you know, the balance of like missing football but also taking a year off and everything like that. I thought it was interesting when he talked about how he, you know, did it potentially maybe save a year of his career as well on the back end, potentially because of his wear and tear on his body, not having it. He mentioned that he feels like he's stronger and maybe, and you know, we typically joke about the cliche best shape of my life, but I actually believe him when he's talking about like, he feels like he truly had a chance to, all he's been doing is squats and bench press and he maybe is stronger. And is that going to help him? Because he's got a hell of a camp battle, man. Kyle Long injury helps his cause, unfortunately for Kyle Long, but it helps LDT's cause.
It does.
But you've got Trey Smith, who everybody's talking about. You still have Andrew Wiley, who's in the competition for that. You've got, obviously...
I've told you before, I don't
Allegretti, Austin Blythe.
Niang.
Austin Blythe. Yeah, you and I differ on that, but sure, I think Niang is either right tackle or backup right tackle. I think it would take some things happening really for him to be the right guard of this team, Niang. But LDT's got as good of a shot as anybody remaining at the right guard spot. I know some people are concerned about the year off, but the Chiefs will have that answer. I mean, LDT essentially acknowledged it, Cody. He said, you know, how am I doing? He's like, I'm feeling great right now as far as the football stuff.
We'll see.
We'll find out in the next couple weeks heading into camp if I have that still anymore. So that'll work itself out. It's not like they're forced into it. It'll be pretty evident to the Chiefs. By the time they get to training camp or during training camp, if he taking a year off made it to where he suddenly isn't able to compete at a high level anymore, that question will be answered long before the season.
I think this is one of the more, and this is why I liked that question from Sam Mellinger so much. This is truly one of the more unique situations ever. Like normally if a guy was coming off of a season long injury, our answer would not be, hey, is he better going into the year now? Well, we don't know that. Like, he's hurt. Our question is, will he be as good as he was before he got hurt? LDT was coming off his worst year as a professional. That final year, believe it or not, when they won a Super Bowl, that was his worst regular season he had had. But now he's, like, rested. Like, this is the Salvador Perez effect. Because it wasn't, like, the injury that you would worry about lingering for Salvador Perez. It was Tommy John surgery. And he's a catcher, not a pitcher. So we knew his arm was going to be okay. The question was, would a year off help him? It did. I actually think in this case it could help LDT, but he's a complete misnomer because you can't trade him, technically. Not he can, but he'd
no
have to approve
plus.
It. And I don't think he wants to leave Kansas City. I think he's found a home here, or at least a second home here, away from the other stuff. And he's too expensive to cut than keep.
Yeah, it's about a $2.7 million dead cap.
He's only, for only having been a sixth round pick, he's really only been a starter in the NFL. He's never been a consistent backup at that level, but seems like the kind of guy who would accept that role if that's what he was asked to do. So it's like he's a real enigma on the offensive line, but he's a perfect depth guy. Because if you have all these questions about it, then you're not worried about like if he's the guy behind the guy. And really, he's still maybe the guy behind the guy, even after the Kyle Long injury. But this is why you have a guy like LDT around. He could be better. He could be better than he was 2 years ago. He could be a key contributor to this offensive line. A lot of it is going to depend on how well your body kind of reacts to a year off of football, but without injury. And if guys come back from a year off football with injury, what's to say he can't be any better than that?
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it because they have options with the way they address the offensive line. I mean, right guard was always going to be a camp battle, except we thought Kyle Long was going to probably be the veteran in the mix that had the leg up. You know, before you would have said, all right, Kyle Long, as the veteran guys that are battling for right guard, he's got the advantage, even though he took a year off as well, but he probably has the advantage. Now, if you're looking at the veteran options at right guard, and it's LDT, and it's Andrew Wiley, yep, and it's Austin Blythe, let's say, perhaps. Like,
even though he's a center, that'll be kind of interesting. Yeah, but although he could probably play guard. He's played guard.
He has played guard, yeah. I mean, there's wide open battle among the veteran guys. And that's what's interesting too. And injuries all sort itself out, but, and will Kyle Long end up as a pup list candidate and everything like that? I think he certainly is a candidate. Will he actually end up on it, I should say, is another story. But with the numbers that they have at O-line and the depth that appears they suddenly have at offensive line, you know, not everybody's making the team, right? So what is that going to be for Rankin as well? What is that going to mean for LDT? You mentioned he's really probably not a guy you cut, but because of the dead cap space. But what does that mean for the future? Is someone going to be moved? I think we were talking to Pete Sweeney. You weren't here on Friday, Cody, but when Bink was in, we were talking to Pete Sweeney. We're like, is there a chance that maybe one of these veteran linemen do get, you know, traded for nothing special, but get traded just because of the numbers? If Trey Smith, for example, were to win the right guard job, would they then at that point say, all right, we want some depth here, but we're not keeping, we don't have the numbers on the roster to be able to keep LDT and Kyle Long, even if he's on the pup list for a little bit, and, you know, and Andrew Wiley and Rankin. Sure. And so you start wondering what they're going to do on that. But this is a good, you know, good problem to have is numbers at that position. They're going to have plenty of time to figure out who the best right guard option is for week one, at least.
The final word.
No, they got choices. Plenty of choices. Sorry for calling you an old man. Sometimes you got some old habits. The sports are not them. The gambling, you do some young man things.
I'm not allowed
you
to.
You need cash in your billfold. That's what you call it, right?
Cash?
We joked about wallet earlier. No, billfold. Oh, that's the old that man way to say wallet.
I ordered one of those phone cases now, though, that has the
really,
the
if you were a young
slot.
Man, you'd have a pop socket. You should go the opposite
no,
route.
No, that's too young. Like, that's younger than me.
Oh, see, you're trying to stay in your wheelhouse.
Yeah,
I got
like pop socket.
Not how do you do
Grant's
fellow kids.
Grant's pop socket.
Does Grant have a pop socket?
24.
Oh, what?
The like thing for the back of your phone.
Oh, no. I still have a traditional wallet.
But he's, I'm not getting it. I refuse to get a pop socket.
Okay, sorry. You're not going that route. No. Got it.
I'm surprised Cody doesn't have a pop. He seems like you and your wife would both have the pop sockets on the phone. I feel like that's your vibe.
Maybe I will.
I feel like that would be perfect.
See.
All right, we're going to be back at it tomorrow from 10 to noon, actually, as we'll have some Royals baseball coming up a little bit later on this week. But up next, it's The Drive. I guess I'll be on with them at 2:15 talking about something. Listen in, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.